right. Thank you, Joy. I'm glad I met the master. In fact, he became my new owner. Amen. Thank you, Joy, for that message. I've already said good to have Doug McCormick and Kim and much of their church back there, young people and some folks visiting, and we're glad to have them. I'll let Doug introduce them to you a little bit, but we're so glad to have them. They just pushed it all the way down. It's a hard drive from Dothan down here. Let me see, you lose an hour coming this way, don't you? That's what that makes it tough. But I'm going to ask him to come and preach to us tonight. And Doug, come on up and you can introduce the folks to us. And just good to have you. If you ever get a chance, go up there to Dothan, visit the church with a heart. The sign outside, you can't miss it. It's great. And God has used Doug and Kim for that work to be built. And it is a powerful testimony. It really is. I tell Doug all the time, I want him to write that testimony in a book. I'm afraid that everybody ought to have it. They ought to see the answers to prayer and hear the stories that God revealed himself in. I want him to do it before he gets old. He's not quite there yet, but if he hangs around like I have, it'll happen. Preacher called me the other day, said, when are we going to get out for lunch? Go out for lunch together. They said, let's hurry up and do it before they take our driver's license. The trouble is, he's pretty close to right. Brother Doug, come on, please. God bless you.
All right, it's good to be here tonight, and always such a privilege and joy to just be with you all and just to be here. And we sure love you all. Thank God for Brother Carter, Miss Carter, and all you great folks here at Landmark Baptist Church. And I know a lot of you don't know us because we've been gone for many years, but my wife, Kim, grew up here. I think started coming here when she was about 12, 13 years old, and of course graduated from Landmark Christian School. And of course her mom and dad has been here for about 40 years, I think more than 40 years in the church. Brother Carter had only been here just a couple years or so. It was still First Missionary Baptist Church, and then they started coming. And so Kim and her family have been here a long time. And of course, we got married here. Brother Carter performed our ceremony, and then he had asked me to come and work here in the church for just a little while and taught in the school and did other ministries. But anyways, about almost 30 years ago, 29 years ago this summer, the Lord touched our hearts to go to Dothan, Alabama to start a church. And I'd asked Brother Carter if Landmark could be our sending church. And he was so kind to allow us that privilege. And I tell you what, you all have been more than just a sending church in name. I'm telling you what, the encouragement and blessing. And Brother Carter and Mrs. Carter and just so many of you folks that have just always been such a blessing and helped us in so many ways. Our first auditorium was built by a group that came from Landmark back in 1994 and framed and dried in by folks from Landmark. And then our second building was built by a group from Landmark also. And then when we were praying about what to do about trying to get a mobile home, Brother Carter and you folks here got together and voted to buy us a mobile home and shipped it from Lakeland all the way to Dothan and gave us a mobile home. We couldn't hardly believe it. And man, I tell you what a blessing y'all have been in just so many ways. And of course, we know Jesus builds a church upon this rock. He said, I'll build my church. It's Jesus' church. But God uses people as his instruments. And without a doubt, this isn't just a rhetorical statement, but without Brother Carter and Landmark Baptist Church, there would not be a Crossroads Baptist Church in Dothan, Alabama, and we sure owe a great debt to y'all. Y'all have been such a blessing to us. Thank you for your prayers and your encouragement and being so kind to us. And I did want to introduce just our group that's with us. We're actually here on a really spiritual trip. We're going to be missionaries to Disney World and going to try to win Mickey Mouse to Christ. If we can, y'all pray for us, but try to, you know, turn the agenda around for the Disney, which is really a tough job to say the least these days. But I know we have a fundraiser every year, and the ones that sell a certain amount win a Disney trip, and believe me, they've earned it. They really do a phenomenal job, and it helps our school tremendously. But I'd like to ask the group, my wife, Kim, and also the group from the young people from our school, if y'all would stand for just a moment and remain standing just for a minute here. And then also, Miss Denise Skeeto is here, and now she's not still in school. She graduated last year. So, no, actually, you can't see her. I'm teasing with you. But Miss Denise is a member of our church, but used to live in Winter Haven, and just happened to be on vacation down here this same week, and knew we were going to be here. So they drove, and two of her dear friends are also here with her. So, Miss Denise and your friends, if you could stand also. Would you all mind standing too? And so glad to have these ladies with us. Miss Denise is one of the most dedicated Christians you'll ever meet. I'm telling you, she is such a blessing. Our church is so faithful. She's a nurse. Sometimes she has to miss because of working on Sundays. But that's definitely an ox in the ditch. You can't close down hospitals and stuff like that on Sunday, obviously. But I mean, she, other than just having to work once in a while, she is so faithful, but not just to church, but just so dedicated, always living for others, helping people. Tremendous help many times, even with my dad, who has dementia. My mom and dad moved in with us about a year and a half ago. And many times, especially if we're out of town, she couldn't this time, but she'll go and help my mom and dad. And what a blessing she is. But just wanted to say thank you for the great job you young people did. It's good to have you all here. And if you don't mind, let's just give them a hand. Y'all can be seated. I don't think they want to be seated. These teenagers, they like the recognition. Anyways, but say, bring it on, right? Anyways. But anyways, it's good to be here. And we did just get in a little while ago. And it took us a while after we got here because the girls were getting ready. You know how that goes. So anyway, so one bathroom for all those girls. So it takes a while. But anyway, so but I'd like for you, if you would, to take your Bibles and turn to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 10. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 10. Some of you, if you know the scripture, you think, oh no, he's preaching on tithing tonight. And it makes you nervous. But that's really not my main theme tonight, though. I tell you, it ought not bother us to preach on tithing, because what a great opportunity to bring on the blessings of God, and what a privilege to give God just a little portion of what he's blessed us with, and we ought to give it all to God if he told us to, and do it willingly and cheerfully. But man, there's a lot of great truths in this passage of Scripture. Let's look at it. If you don't mind, if you could stand together, if you're able to stand, if you could stand just in honor of the reading God's Word, we'll read just three verses here. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, or as I heard one man say it, Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10, whichever one is right, I'm not sure, but Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10, and the scripture says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Let's bow our heads, please, for prayer. Lord, I pray you bless the preaching of thy word. Please cleanse me, Lord, and fill me and empower me. Lord, I know that without you I can do nothing. Lord, I think of that scripture that I know Brother Carter quotes so often, but it's so true. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And I truly acknowledge that tonight, Lord. And I pray that you would just truly cleanse me and empower me, Lord, and make me a blessing, Lord. Because, Lord, if you don't meet with us tonight, Lord, then we would have gathered in vain. And so I pray that, God, we would feel your presence. I pray especially if there's one not saved tonight. God, I know this is probably mainly faithful folks here at Landmark and the cream of the crop, so to speak. But God, Lord, in a crowd this size, there's almost without a doubt somebody, maybe several somebody that's not saved. And I pray that they would realize that Jesus loves them and die on the cross for them, Lord. And Lord, the rapture could come tonight or death could knock at their door. It's appointed a man wants to die after this, the judgment. Please don't let anybody die without Christ and go to hell when it's totally unnecessary because you paid it all on the cross. If we just receive you, I pray you'd save the lost. I pray that God, you'd help us that are saved, that you would increase our faith, give us a greater vision to serve you and to believe you, Lord, and to trust you. I pray that, God, you would help people not to hear me tonight, but to hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit of God. And, God, that you'd help us not to leave the same way we came. I pray that, God, you bless us all now and do a mighty work here, and that, God, you would change somebody's life in this service tonight. And I'll thank you and praise you, for it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like for you to think about this passage of Scripture. And man, I'm glad I've got a lot of time, because my watch here says like 7:04. And so I'm going to go by Alabama time and just go ahead and preach as long as I want. I'm just teasing. But I will keep in mind the time for seriously. But I hope you just put everything else out of your mind, not worry about the time. I believe when we come to church, we ought to worry more about getting in than getting out. And I know folks are busy, and thank God for people that are diligent, hard workers, and got a lot to do, because that's the way it ought to be. But I tell you what, if we don't have time for God, we're too busy. And so I hope you open your heart to the Lord. Let God speak to you today, tonight, and do something special in your heart. But I want you to look again at verse number 10, our text verse here tonight, where the Scripture says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts." So this is God talking. God says, "Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Man, God gives us a challenge and a promise right here in this Scripture. God says, man, I wish that somebody would just give me a chance. I wish somebody would give me a chance to prove my promises in 2019. God said, I wish somebody would give me a chance to show that I can still do today what I did when I parted the Red Sea for Moses. I wish somebody would give me a chance to prove that I can still do today what I did on the day of Pentecost, when my power through my spirit came and 3,000 were saved and baptized in one day. I wish somebody would just give me a chance. God says, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, and see if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. Man, God, I believe from heaven is looking down and said, listen, I wish there would be somebody, some man, some lady, some teenager, some boy or girl, it doesn't matter if you're young or old, just somebody that's a child of God that would step out by faith and give God a chance to do something great in your life. Somebody said, get out on the limb. That's where the fruit is. Hey, listen, if you don't get out on the limb, you're not going to have any fruit. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For him that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so, listen, we get saved by faith, but then the just shall live by faith. And so God says, I wish somebody would just give me a chance. And so I wish you'd listen from God in heaven to your heart personally here tonight. And don't worry about anybody else around you. Just let the Holy Spirit of God speak to you personally, and let God talk to your heart tonight. And I want you to hear God say, give me a chance. Give me a chance. Listen, give God a chance in your life. I imagine all of us could think about times in our lives where maybe when we were kids growing up, or teenagers, or even as an adult, that we really wanted to do something so bad, we just wish somebody would give us a chance or an opportunity to do what we wanted to do so badly. Oh, but many times it seems like because you've never done it before, at least nobody has known that you could do it before, it seems like it's hard to get that chance. But man, what a blessing when that chance comes and that door is open, you have that opportunity, and God blesses you, and man, you're able to see something great happen and do what you've always wanted to do by the grace of God. Listen, that's what the God in heaven, he's looking down and said, I wish somebody would give me an opportunity. He said, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, and see if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. I'll never forget when I was a young boy. I was about 13 years old. I was an eighth grader, and I played on a soccer team. Our church had a Christian school, just a small Christian school, and I was only an eighth grader, but they still let me on the team, even though it was a varsity team. And boy, listen, I didn't play a whole lot. I'm telling you, I mainly was on the sidelines. Not only was I eighth grader, but I looked like I was about a third grader. I promise you, I'm not making this up, because just as an example, when I was almost 15 years old, when I was in ninth grade, I wrestled, and I won in my category, my school. And so I went to wrestle, and the lowest weight category was 98 pounds. And I'd been trying to gain weight before that wrestling match, that meet that we had. I was trying to gain weight so I could get up to that 98 pounds because I was way below it. And I'd been doing everything I could, drinking milkshakes, eating protein, eating bananas, whatever you got to do. I was trying to gain weight for about a month. And when I weighed in, and mind you, I'm about 3 or 4 months now from 15 years old. I weighed in at 68 pounds, and I've been trying to gain weight for about a month or 6 weeks. That's how small I was. Man, listen, and so when I was in eighth grade, I was smaller than that. Man, listen, I was really little. And so here I'm on the team. It's a varsity team. I'm only eighth grade anyway, and I look like I'm about a third or fourth grader. It's like, what's that little boy doing over there with a uniform on, you know? Probably went down to my knees. It was probably the smallest shirt they had, you know, or tucked in my pants, probably sticking out the bottom of them. But I'm telling you, I was little. And man, but I wanted to play so bad. I was small, but I was fast. Man, when you're little, you got to be fast to run away when they're trying to beat you up, right? And so I was quick. I really was pretty fast. I was in good shape. And I had a lot of energy. Man, I guess they would have said I had ADHD, but now back then they just gave you whoopings instead of Ritalin. And so, I just hyper all the time. And so, man, I wanted to play so bad. But man, I tell you what, I'd be on the sidelines and they'd be playing the game and you know, the coach would be on the sidelines of the soccer field. And man, you know, when our team was down here, he'd be walking down there screaming at the guys, you know, hollering at them, telling them what to do. And then most of the team, they'd just stand there in one spot. Not me. Everywhere the coach went, I followed him. Man, when he went, I mean, the whole length of the field, the whole time I'd be going, this is just a field. It's not like we had a box or nothing like that to sit in. I mean, we just there on a field playing soccer. And man, I'd be the whole time. You know why I did that? Because I was just hoping that somehow or other he'd want a substitute and he'd see me standing there and just say, hey, Doug, go in. But he almost never did it anyhow. I was just too small and too little, but I wanted to play so bad I couldn't hardly stand it. Well, one game we were playing and we were losing 6-0. Now, if you know anything about soccer, that's about six is about the same, or one point in soccer is about like 7 points or 6 or 7 points in football, okay? And so it's like losing by 6 touchdowns to zero, and if you talk about football. And man, I tell you what, we were getting cremated. It was 6-0. And man, the coach was so mad. It was actually Tim Green, who's a great evangelist now, but he was my soccer coach. His dad was my pastor at the time. And boy, I'd be walking up and down the whole time with him. And man, listen, when they scored that sixth goal, the other team against us, it was because the goalie wasn't doing his job, and it just kind of slipped through his hands and went in. And man, the coach was so mad. He was so mad, he wanted to do something to humiliate that goalie. And so you know what he said? He said, come on out. He said, Doug McCormick, you go in for him. That was a supreme humiliation if they put me in for you. You know what I'm saying? And especially as goalie. I wasn't even tall enough to block it at the top. I was like not even 5 feet tall. I'm not even close to it, probably 4'10". And he put me in. Here I am, the little bitty goalie down there. I mean, this is regular high school soccer. And I'm the goalie. And I'm so little, you know. It's like you have to use binoculars to see there's even a goalie standing there. I'm so skinny and small. And man, listen, there he is. And man, this guy comes off. He's just humiliated because I took his place. And man, listen, he and I guess after about 5 or so minutes, I'm like, oh God, don't let the ball come down here, you know. And it didn't. And they didn't score on me. They're already beating us 6-0. But I guess by that time, our coach got kind of calmed down and thought how crazy it was for me to be playing goalie because, man, I couldn't even block it if they kicked it over my head underneath the goalpost. And so our soccer coach, Tim Green, he came to his senses and instead he kept me in the game. Well, they have to lose 6-0 already, right? So he put me on the front line on the wing and put somebody else back there that could actually play goalie. And so there I was. And man, they kicked it off again. And boy, I remember the center kicked it off to me, and I dribbled it down the side, and I centered it just perfect. And man, listen, the guy that was in there, he kicked it in, and we scored. Man, I'm telling you, I'd only been in about five minutes as goalie, and then they put me on the front line, and we scored. It was the only score we got. We definitely did win. We lost 6-1, but our team went crazy. You'd have thought we won the Super Bowl or something because we scored one goal. Man, all the guys, I was so little, all the guys came to spontaneous. They all picked me up, and they carried me down the field. I mean, it wasn't hard to do. I weighed about 50-something pounds. They carried me down the field like I was a hero or something. Man, it was great, man. I tell you what. And after that, from then on, the rest of the season, And the next year, and the next year, until I was 10th grade, we moved. Man, listen, I started almost every game. It's like, man, I was there on the side like, man, would you just give me a chance? I know I'm little, I know I'm small, but I'll give it all I've got. I'll give it 110%. And man, I'll tell you what, listen, when he gave me a chance, by the grace of God, I was able to show that, hey, with God's help, I could do it. And man, listen, he just gave me a chance. You know, that's what God said. He said, man, give me a chance. Listen, if a little 50 or 60 pound kid can do something like that, what can Almighty God do if you give him a chance? Hey, just give God a chance. Man, just several things here I just want to mention about giving God a chance. Number one, and most importantly of all, is give God a chance to save you. Listen, if you're here tonight and you're lost, and I know that this is Wednesday night crowd and most of you are very faithful church members and so forth, but listen, if you're here tonight, you don't know 100% sure you're going to heaven. You know you're not going to go to heaven because you're a church member. You're not going to go to heaven because you're involved. You're not going to go to heaven because you have a position in the church or work in a ministry or you're a pretty good person, humanly speaking. The Bible says that we're all sinners and the wages of sin is death, and every one of us deserve hell, and the only hope you have is Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're here tonight and you've never been born again, what you need to do is give God a chance to save you tonight. You know, God is there knocking at your heart's door. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, he said, I'll come in. Jesus wants to come into your heart. He wants to save you, but he will not come in unless you receive him. The Bible says, whosoever will may come. Oh, listen, God says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. They'll be red like crimson, they should be as wool. But only you can open your heart to Jesus Christ and give God a chance to save your soul. Oh, listen, give God a chance, number one, to save you. Number two, I want to say this to those of us that are born again and saved. You say, Brother Doug, I'm born again. I'm saved. I could give you a testimony about when I got saved. I know it for sure. And I was convicted of the Holy Spirit of sin. I knew I was going to hell. And I cried out to Jesus Christ for salvation and believed that he was the Son of God and that he died for my sins, was buried, rose again. And I received him as my personal Lord and Savior. I know that I'm saved. Well, if you know that, that's wonderful. But you know what? God didn't just save you to get you out of hell. He saved you and left you on this earth because he's got a job for you to do in his kingdom between now and the time you go to heaven. God's got a work for you to do. It may or may not be a preacher or a missionary or an evangelist. I don't know what God has called you to do. If he called you to do that, do it with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But listen, however you make a living, listen, it's not the issue. The thing is, God may not call every Christian to be in full-time Christian service, but he calls every Christian to be a full-time Christian. Hey, listen, what are you doing for God? Regardless of what you do to get a paycheck every week, hey, listen, are you a soul winner? Are you seeking God? Are you letting God do miracles in and through your life? Listen, give God a chance as a Christian to bless you. Give God a chance to bless you. That's exactly what he's saying right here. He said, bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You know what God is saying? He said, listen, if you just give me a chance, just give me a chance, and you'll just go ahead and give your all to me and hold nothing back. God says, I will open you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing, there won't be room enough to receive it. You know, sometimes folks hear this scripture about preaching about tithes and offerings, and boy, I tell you what, they get on the defensive. And boy, it bothers them and think, man, you know, but that's my money, and I can't afford to give that tithe to God or that offering to God. Hey, listen, did you ever stop and think, God doesn't need what you have. You need what God has. Hey, listen, if I don't give God my tithe and offering this Sunday, if I don't put it in the offering plate, God's not going to have to go on food stamps next week. Listen, God's not going to have to go and get some government assistance. Listen, he's Almighty God. Hey, in 6 days, he made the heavens and the earth by just speaking the word. All the silver and gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Hey, listen, God in heaven doesn't need what I've got. God has just given you an opportunity to be obedient to him and take what he's given to us as his stewards and give it back to him in obedience. So the God in heaven says, man, I'm just waiting to open the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing you won't even know where how to handle it all. God said, but I didn't need you first of all to show me that you love me enough to just step out by faith and be obedient. And I'm telling you what, listen, if you just step out by faith and obey God
and give God your tithes and offerings, and then to give God your life, and give God your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I tell you what, God in heaven is just waiting for somebody to give him a chance to pour out them out a blessing. There would not be room enough to receive it. Give God a chance to bless you. Give God a chance to open those windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. You know, back in 1991, in 1990, we left here from Landmark. We went down there to Dothan, Alabama, and we didn't know a soul. And we found a half of a house to rent and began to start a church. And man, listen, we had almost no funds at all. We had maybe about three or four churches, Landmark and two or three other churches that gave us some support monthly, and maybe a couple individuals that helped us. Praise the Lord for those. But I'm telling you what, we just stepped out by faith to start a church. And man, listen, we'd been going for about a year. And by this time, we'd moved out of that first building. Then we had another block building that was 24 by 48 feet is the size of it. And we began to rent that building. And now the church was fixing to be a year old. Well, man, listen, before our first anniversary came around, it was about a month before our first anniversary, and it was on a Sunday night. And man, I was there preaching to about 20 people maybe on a Sunday night. And we were probably running maybe 35 or 40 on Sunday morning. And most of those we picked up in a van and stuff and brought to church. And man, listen, we were at downtown Dothan for almost that whole time. And then we're now on 431 there, just in a little block building. And man, about a month before our first anniversary of our church, the church about 11 months old, I was preaching on a Sunday night, and I said, listen, God can do anything. I said, where there's no vision, the people perish. We need to give God a chance to prove his power, that he can answer prayers today. He can do today what he did on the day of Pentecost. And I was preaching up a storm to about 20 people or so, most of them senior citizens. I mean, a lot of them probably couldn't even understand what I was talking about. And I mean, when we started the church, I mean, it was downtown. Almost all these folks come, and they come up to me after the service. And some of them, I'm not making fun of anybody, believe me, but maybe a couple of them, they were there, and they legally blind. And these old ladies would look at me and said, I didn't know we had such a handsome young preacher like you. And man, you know, she can't even see who I am, right? And others say, I like hearing you preach. I don't have to turn on my hearing aid when you preach, because I was so loud. I didn't need a microphone. I just preaching to them in this little bitty room. And man, I tell you what, I mean, that's about who was in our church. And so we were there, and I was preaching on a Sunday night, and I said, listen, if we really believe God, God could do great things. I said, listen, in about a month from now, we're going to have our first anniversary. I said, on the first service we ever started our church on September 30th, 1990, God gave us 23 people here in attendance, 23. It was my wife and I and a 3- and 4-year-old that we had, Beth and Josh at the time, and 19 other people that we'd invited. I said, listen, I believe God could give us 123 on our first anniversary. And boy, that sounded good in a sermon. But man, when we got done and I got in the car to go home, I thought, what did I just say tonight? Now, was I an idiot or what, man? I mean, we had about 35 that morning. That was about our average. I mean, a couple times we'd had a little, you know, maybe 60 or 70, but I thought 123. We did not have one solid husband and wife family in the whole church beside me and my wife. We had a few single folks that came in with some kids, single moms, things like that, and some senior citizens that would come. But probably over half the people, maybe 2/3 on Sunday morning, we picked up ourselves in a van or in a car. And I thought, how in the world are we going to have 123 on anniversary Sunday? But I had already set the goal in my sermon. I just said it spontaneous, didn't even plan it. And man, I got home, I thought, man, why did I say that? Man, that's crazy. There's no way we can have 123. Well, the next day I got up, and our daughter Bethany had just turned 5, and so we had enrolled her in a Christian school in town just for half a day. And so I brought her there, and it was half a day, and I came back to the house with Bethany. And my wife and Josh was at the house. Beth was 5 and Josh 4. And I came to the door, and there was a little 3x5 card just like this. A 3x5 card taped to the front of our door of our house we were renting. And it just had three numbers on it. It had 1, 2, 3. Well, of course, Bethany had just started kindergarten, and so I thought, oh, I guess she's teaching, you know, trying to help Beth to learn how to count or something. I figured if you flip it over and say ABC, I had no idea why it was on the door, 1, 2, 3, that's what it said. I thought, I wonder what's that for? I didn't think nothing of it. I came in the house, and I went in the bathroom, and taped to the mirror in the bathroom was a little card. It said 1, 2, 3, a big magic marker, 1, 2, 3 on it. I thought, what does that mean? I went in the bedroom on the dresser, it said 1, 2, 3. Man, later on, I went out to the van. We had a van that we had given to us, and we used to pick up for church. And it had on the steering wheel there, taped to it, 1, 2, 3. These little cards, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, probably 20, 25 of them, taped all over the house. Finally, I went to Kim. I said, Kim, I said, what in the world are all these little cards all over the house with 1, 2, 3 on them? What's that supposed to mean? She said, what do you mean, what's that supposed to mean? You're the one that said it yesterday in church that we were going to have 123 on anniversary Sunday. I just write it all down. So every time we see him, we'd pray for God to do it. I said, man, I didn't really think God's going to do it. I was just preaching a sermon. You know, if I ever want to tell the truth, I'll let you know. But otherwise, it's just preaching, right? And so I thought, what in the world? Man, I was ashamed. I mean, my wife had way more faith than I did. I just was thinking I was an idiot for saying it. And so I thought, she really thinks we can have 123 on about 3 weeks, 4 weeks from now. And so I thought, we better start doing something about it. And man, we started praying. And boy, we prayed. And man, we worked. We tried to contact everybody we think of. And that last year or so since we've been there, if anybody had even said they might come to church, all sorts of people say that, oh, you're starting a church. Isn't that nice? Oh, yes. They like pat you on the back. And they never plan on coming. They don't want to come to some little storefront there and all that. But I'm telling you what, listen, I had those names, and I tried to send out letters. Of course, no computers. I just had a little typewriter. I typed like this on the little typewriter, and I hand wrote almost everything. And boy, I sent out letters, and I tried to go to houses, tried to make phone calls and visits and do everything I could. And boy, I tell you what, listen, it came right up to the Sunday before our first anniversary. And there it was, and I thought, well, maybe if we could just maybe have 60 or 70 or 80 the Sunday before, it'll kind of build up to it, and it won't be so hard to have 123 the next week. Maybe just double it and we'll have it, right? And everybody get excited about it. Well, the Sunday before, anniversary Sunday, we had about 35. About 35, I thought, man, we're almost like down in attendance the Sunday before. And man, probably 20 of those were in junior church, and maybe 15 that I was preaching to in our little room we called an auditorium. And man, I thought, man, this is crazy. What are we going to do? So that week, I fasted and I prayed, not the whole week, but for maybe 2 or 3 days. And I was praying, and I couldn't hardly sleep at night. And I was saying, oh, God, I don't know how we're going to have 123. It's just going to have to be a miracle, God. But can I tell you, when that next Sunday rolled around, I still have no idea how it happened, but the mercy and grace of God. We had 131 in attendance, and there was 23 people saved that next Sunday. Man, I'm telling you what, that was God. You know what we did? We just gave God a chance to bless us. And I have to say, my wife is the one that had a lot more faith than I did, for sure, because if she wouldn't wrote those cards, I probably would have just thought that was a crazy thing to say and apologized next Sunday or something and said, hey, folks, don't listen to what I say when I'm preaching. It's just a preaching, okay? Don't listen to me when I'm crazy like that. I think I had a loss of mind for a while. I probably wouldn't have said that, but I'm telling you what, thank God for working that miracle. You know what? What we think is so impossible is nothing with God. The Bible said, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Man, we need to give God a chance, number one, to save us if we're lost. But number two, we need to give God a chance to bless us. And number three, we need to give God a chance, and you need to give God a chance to answer your prayers. You know God wants to answer your prayers. I'm telling you what, listen, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're a single parent trying to rear children by yourself, if you're a lady that's just struggling to work and trying to rear 2, 3, 4 kids, and man, it's all you can do to survive from week to week. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you have a college education or if you never finished the 8th grade. It doesn't matter if you're illiterate. If you're a child of God, God in heaven loves you, and the promises of God are for you if you're a born-again child of God. Listen, God is your Father. Jesus is your Savior. The Holy Spirit of God lives within you, and God's promises are for you. God said in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Matthew 7:7 still says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. In Mark 11, we read, whatsoever things ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. And there's hundreds of other scriptures just like that, and promises of God you can claim and believe God. And I tell you, God delights in answering the prayers of his children. You read the scriptures and see some of the prayers that God answers with some of the most unlikely people. I mean, people that you would have thought, you know, man, why would God do such a miracle for them? I'll tell you why, because he loved them. That's why. Amen. Man, I think about, you know, people like the widow of Zarephath, you know, that was gathering just two sticks to make one last meal for her and her son, and then going to die. And God sent Elijah the prophet there. And you say, well, God sent Elijah there so she could sustain him. That's true. But God also sent Elijah there so she and her son could be sustained. But I'm telling you what, if the miracle wouldn't have happened for Elijah, then those two people would have starved to death. The truth is, it was their obedience to the word of the Lord that caused not only the prophet of God to be spared and not to starve to death, but they kept her and her son alive. Man, God blesses obedience. And I'm telling you, if you know the story, how that when Elijah asked for some food in the midst of that famine where it hadn't rained now for many, many months, and in all total 3.5 years when it was all said and done, hey, listen, she said, Elijah said, fetch me something to eat. And she said, I have nothing except just a handful of meal and just a little bit of oil in a container here, and it's enough for me and my son to have one last meal and to die. And he said, well, thus saith the Lord, give me some of that meal and oil first, and then God will supply for you and your son. And you know what she did? She went and obeyed the Lord. And the Bible said she made a pancake, and she gave it to Elijah. And I can see Elijah eating that pancake. Here's a starving little son with his ribs sticking out over there crying, that preacher's eating my food. That preacher's eating my food. Can you imagine it now? Could you imagine that mom? You know? I mean, man, thinking, man, he's coming over here. We don't hardly have anything. And he's sitting there eating what we got. Mama, what kind of preacher is that? I don't know, son, but that's what God said to do. Just trust the Lord. I don't think that son had probably much faith like mama did. But I'm telling you what, after Elijah got done eating that pancake, he said, that was pretty good, Aunt Jemima. Said, hey, could you give me some more? Could you give me some more? She said, I don't have anything left. He said, well, go dip you some cornmeal out of that barrel over there. He said, well, it's empty. He said, go dip you some cornmeal out of there. She said, it's empty. He said, I said, the Lord said, go dip you some cornmeal out of there. And so she goes down there with her cup and feeling kind of foolish, figuring she's going to go down there and come up with some air. But when she did, it hit something, went poof. There was some flour down there in that barrel. Man, and she had scraped the bottom of the barrel, but man, she brought it up and put it in the bowl and said, more than that, man, I'm a Baptist preacher. I can eat a lot of food. Boy, another cup and another cup and another cup. She went to go get some water to mix it. Said, what are you doing? Go get water. Go get some oil out of that container. I like my food good and healthy. Go get some oil out of that. But there's not, I gave you the last drop. And she goes to pick up that empty container and some oil spills all over the counter. God filled up that container. God filled up that barrel, and she poured it in, and they had an all-you-could-eat pancake supper that day and the next day and the next day and the next week and the next month, all the way until the famine ended, and she could grow her own crops and make it on her own. And God took care of her and her son and the man of God. Why? Because, listen, she just believed God and stepped out by faith. I'm telling you, God cares about you, and God wants to answer your prayers. Listen, you say, well, Brother Doug, how come I don't get my prayers answered? Well, how much time have you spent in prayer in the last 7 days? Yo, God said you have not because you ask not. Hey, how in the world is God going to answer the prayers that you don't pray? Hey, listen, when's the last time you really got on your knees and sought God until you knew you prayed through and got a hold of God Almighty for that need that you have, no matter what it may be, whether it be financial, whether it be praying for that son or daughter that's away from God, praying for your marriage, praying for that lost family member to get saved, praying for that miracle you need in your life. I'm telling you, God said, I wish somebody would just prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, and see if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. There should not be room enough to receive it. That's not just financial. That's the blessings of God. And the greatest things are things that money can't even think about buying. Yeah. I'm telling you what, God wants to answer your prayers. Yeah. God wants to answer your prayers. Listen, give God a chance. Give God a chance. I'm telling you, I could give so many testimonies about how God has provided for us as a family and as a church as well through these many years in Dothan, Alabama. But I'm telling you, it's just amazing how God answers the prayers of any child of God that believes the Lord. I know Brother Carter, man, I tell you what, has so many amazing testimonies. And I guarantee you, brothers, probably some of you sitting here have never read his book about His Hand Is Real. Man, listen, you ought to read that book. Man, I'm telling you, it's just miraculous testimonies. That's just a fraction of the miracles that God has done through him and his family and through here at Landmark Baptist Church. And man, you're sitting in a miracle of God right here in this ministry that has affected the entire world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe that had a huge part in holding back the judgment of God on America, because there's a church in Haines City that's standing for what's right and taking a stand for righteousness and humbling themselves and praying and seeking God's face and turning from the wicked ways. And a man of God that's been preaching here for some nearly 50 years. I'm telling you, God is blessing, and many of you don't even realize what a miracle you have right here. You're living in a miracle right here. Listen, because God still answers prayer. Give God a chance to save you. Above all, if you're not saved, please give God a chance to save you. Give God a chance to bless you. Give God a chance to answer your prayers. And then last of all, and most important of all, next to being saved, is give God a chance to give us true revival. Oh, I tell you what, do we not need revival? I'm telling you, we need it so desperately as a nation. Boy, we need it as a nation. If we're going to have it as a nation, we're going to have it individually. Man, listen, revival doesn't start with a nation as a whole. Revival starts with an individual. That starts with one man, one lady, one teenager, one boy or girl, one child of God that gets along with God and says, oh God, Lord, I'm going to do all I can to humble myself and to pray and to seek your face and turn from my wicked ways, God, and begins to beseech God and intercede. God said in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, and I sought for a man, one, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. But I found none. He said, if I could just find one. Just one, if I could have just found one man, I believe he means one person, one man, one woman, one child of God that would intercede like Moses did when he stood in the gap. Oh, listen, God said, I would withhold my judgment on the entire nation of Israel. Yeah. But I could not find one. I could not find one. Oh, listen, why don't you say, I want to be that man. I'm going to be that lady. I'm going to be that teenager. I'm going to be that young person. I'm going to be that college student. I'm going to be that one that stands in the gap and makes a difference. I love my country. I care about our nation. I love the freedom that we have. Oh, listen, maybe God will send you to be a missionary to another country, and you can intercede for that country like we as Americans here are doing for our country, and take a nation and turn that nation upside down for God. God's looking for somebody that believes God can still bring revival today, just like he did in Bible days, just like he did in the days of the early days of America, just like he did through D.L. Moody and Billy Sunday and great men of God in the past. Listen, God is not dead. God's hand is not short that he cannot save. Oh, listen, his hand is not heavy that he cannot do miracles. God can do anything. He said, listen, but your iniquities, God said, have separated between you and your God. Listen, God's just looking for somebody to believe him. The Bible, Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Give God a chance to give us true revival. Again, I quote the scripture that many of you have memorized. Many of you have quoted it many times. But I tell you what, it's not just a verse to memorize and quote. It's a verse we need to put to practice. But if my people, God said, called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God says, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal our land. I believe God has given us a little bit of a space of his grace here, even in the last couple years, allow us to have a president that I believe is trying to fight for our freedoms, a president that's trying to push back on abortion and all this transgender stuff out there that's so vile and ungodly and so perverted. And I believe he's doing what he can to stand behind the nation of Israel and help our country to stand for what's right. Oh, listen, my faith is not in a man, but let me tell you something. God raises up people in places of authority to and the answer to the prayers of his children doctrine, and I believe we especially have a vice president that's a God-fearing man, and people that are trying to stand in the gap for our country. And I'm telling you, I believe it's because enough people have been seeking God's face. But what's going to happen in a couple of years from now, or in 6 years from now, or down the road? What's going to happen to our children, our grandchildren, those coming after us, if Jesus Christ tarries is coming? And I hope he comes tonight, but we have no guarantee that he's coming tonight or next week or next year. I believe he's coming very soon. But in the meantime, listen, we've got to live in this world. And I'm telling you what, I for one do not want to see our nation destroyed like we deserve. Oh, I want to see the mercy of God extended to our country. But I tell you, the only hope we have is if there's enough of God's people, enough of a remnant. He said in Isaiah chapter 1, except it had been for that very small remnant, ye had been as Sodom and been as Gomorrah. Right. God looking down from heaven to see if there's enough of a remnant here of God's people that will still humble ourselves and pray to seek his faith, turn from our wicked ways. God said, if I see enough of that remnant, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Oh, listen, why don't we give God a chance to see what God can do to send revival to our churches, to our church personally, to our nation? Why don't we see what God can do to send revival to us personally? Why don't we see what God can do to answer our prayers? Why don't we give God a chance to see how he can bless you beyond your imagination? Oh, listen, give God a chance. Again, the text says in Malachi 3, bring you all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, I pray you bless us tonight. I pray that, God, you'd burn it into our hearts tonight, the fact that you want to bless us, God. And, God, you're crying out from heaven. What a shame that you, as God Almighty, have to practically plead with us and beg us to give you a chance to bless us. Why wouldn't we be begging you for that chance? Why would we be on your behalf saying, oh, God, please bless me, Lord? It ought to be the other way around. God, the truth is, we're the ones that's so blessed to be called after your name. I pray that, God, tonight we would step out by faith and not say, I'm gonna take God at his word. I'm going to do what he said. I'm going to prove God. And I'm going to give God a chance to answer my prayers. I'm going to give God a chance to bless me. I'm going to give God a chance to send that revival like he wants to send so badly to our nation, to our church, and to myself and my family. I want to give God that chance. I pray that, God, somebody will be that one tonight. God, please help us to give you that chance that you could show your power to this generation. Lord, bless us and help us now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's stand with our heads bowed just a moment. We've heard a powerful message.